Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss the injury of Jaden Daniels, the MVP race, and the tough NFC West. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the What Do They Know podcast. Week 9 in the NFL season is in the books, which means we're what? Does that mean we're halfway through the season?
Yeah. Over. Yeah.
Golly, where did it go?
I don't know. Well, Saints are 1-8. As far as I know, this is going way too slow.
Just get it over with. That's funny.
Oh, man.
Well, how was your week, man?
Yeah,
besides,
so far so good.
Besides, you know, your crappy football team.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore, but I mean, they dictate my Sundays, but you know, it is what it is. I try to make a do with my Fridays and my Saturdays. I go out to eat dinner or whatever, but that's basically it. It's very tranquil right now. I'm just looking forward to my vacation.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Update.
Ooh.
What Do They Know pod is going on the road.
Oh, no.
We're going to the Baltimore. Jets and Ravens game.
Baltimore.
In a few weeks.
Yeah.
So we're going together, driving up, going to go see the Jets at the Ravens. So maybe we'll get some content either before, during, after, put something out there for you. But looking forward to that. We're going to freeze our butts off. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so it's going to be cold.
Yeah, November what? 21st?
23rd.
23rd.
In Baltimore. Yep, so we're going to drive up. We're going to go. I got some cheap tickets. Actually, even before the season even started, I just didn't know who I was going to go with. I thought I was going to go with my wife. Mm-hmm. She can't go, so bring in the next best thing.
Absolutely.
So, What Do They Know pod, hitting the road.
Hitting the road.
look for that. What is that? That's going to be probably week 12, I think.
Yeah, the week after the Saints bye.
All right, so that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. But what do you got for us this week? Top stories.
Yeah, top stories. I got a couple injuries that are basically headlining for me. First, obviously, this Jaden Daniels injury. I mean, it dislocated left elbow. It's
disgusting.
Yeah, it's just sad to see for Jaden Daniels fighting back from an injury to really try to turn around the Commander season before everything spiraled out of control. And I mean, this whole thing is kind of leading to the discussion of when to pull your quarterback or when to pull your starters, really, when the game is already out of hand. I mean, when he got injured with 7 and change left to go in the game, in a game that's well out of hand.
Yeah, it was 38-7. 38-7, yeah.
So, I mean, it was very pointless to have him out there. At this point, honestly, I mean, it's debatable about when you pull your starters, exactly how you're going to pull your starters. Do you pull them out one at a time? Do you start with, you know, or do you just do a complete overhaul of just putting your second stringers all at once? To me, obviously, we all love the great comeback, you know, the great stories about, and that's how you build a quarterback, builds legacy. But when you're down, 31 points in the fourth quarter, there's no legacy to be built there, to be honest with you. There's really no chance to come back in a game like that. So, I mean, Dan Quinn, he's owned up to it since then, saying it's on him. He should have realized sooner that he should have pulled the starters, and he said it was going to be their last drive anyway, and he just wanted a lot of zone reads anyway, nothing to put players in peril or anything like that. But I mean, every play, anything can happen, and as we saw, Jaden Daniels is a scrambler. He's looking to get some yards, probably try to get in the end zone, and then it just happened to be one of those unfortunate sequence of events where he gets twirled around, each tries to stop the momentum, and his arm just bent the wrong way. So to me, it becomes a whole discussion of when to pull your starters. And for me, honestly, if it's 25 above starting the fourth quarter, I'm not even putting my starters in the fourth quarter. And if you have the ball and it's 25 less, maybe I'll give them a drive. But besides that, there's no way I'm putting my quarterback in there with 7 and change down 31. There's nothing to gain from that.
Yeah. So first of all, your RG3 comparison from earlier in the year is starting to look better and better.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. For Dan Quinn, to me, that's a borderline fireable offense.
Yeah.
Your franchise, the guy who your team, your franchise is built around, 38-7, 7 minutes left in the game. What are you doing? I was listening to Good Morning Football this morning at the gym, and I admittedly, I fell asleep. I didn't watch the game. I didn't watch the second half of the game. I didn't see the injury. Mm-hmm. But they were like, dude, the drive before, you had fourth and manageable from the 50-yard line, and you punted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you clearly, even the coaching staff, by making that decision, had effectively given up on the game.
Right.
So why is he still in there?
Yeah.
And, you know, to your point, he owned it. Dan Quinn owned it and said, you know, I've been thinking about it all day. It was a total miss on me. It's 100% on me, which is, you know, good for him,
right,
for owning it. But golly, dude. Now, I mean, I've heard 5 to 8 weeks. I've heard the season. I've heard a whole bunch of different timelines. So, I mean, that might realistically be the last time we see Jayden Daniels this year.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I think he's only played in 3 or 4 games out of the, what, 9? Out of the 9 games, 8 or 9 games that they've played. He's barely played at all this year.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a tough go for him. It's another prime example of how everything has to go right to win in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everything did go right last year for the Commanders. And, I mean, they had high expectations and high aspirations coming into this year. And obviously, you're trying to give, I guess, Jayden Daniels reps, I suppose, if that's how you want to look at it, coming off a quad injury. But, I mean, it's not necessary to put him out there in that circumstance. Yeah, the FedEx Field, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, is cursed. there's just too many oddball things going on with that field that, honestly, if there's no reason to have your quarterback or any starter out there, I'm pulling them. Obviously, we all know what happens with RG3, Alex Smith, Kyle Allen. The list can go on and on. Adrian Peterson. It's just there's. The list is so detrimental, especially with the Commanders and back when they were known as the Redskins. It's just one of those things where you cannot, especially in the second year, Jayden Daniels, you can't, you know, take away his personality and his trait of scrambling. All of a sudden, when he does scramble, what's he going to do now? Maybe it's something that gets lodged in his head. I mean, to me, you have Marcus Mariota coming in now. Are you going to bring Jayden Daniels back in later in the year just to give him some more reps? I probably wouldn't, especially if the season is probably going to end up lost. I mean, you also lost Marshawn Lattimore to a torn ACL and Luke McCaffrey with a broken collarbone. So that is
a bad day.
Yeah, that is a very bad day.
That's a really bad day.
Yep. So this is a team that's getting destroyed by injuries. I mean, at this point, I'd consider them lucky to even win 7 games, 6 games max. So for the Commanders, it's definitely going to be one of those things where I feel like you have to look at this trade deadline right now and coming up tomorrow and be like, hey, it's time to shed off some salary, you know, start looking to rebuild for next year, retool. Obviously, you got some good things with Terry McLaurin, who's also suffered his own set of injuries and setbacks. And I mean, Deebo Samuel was out for a game or two. It's just one of those things where nothing really lined up for you, and you just have way too tough of a schedule down the road. I mean, you're the NFC East. You still got the Eagles, I feel like, twice, the Cowboys again. I mean, it's not an easy road for the Commanders. So to me, it's time to pull it in and start looking forward to next year.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yep. And then, so my second injury, and this one goes with the Packers, that is a little bit of an enigma to me because they've now lost to the Browns and the Panthers. But Tucker Kraft tore his ACL. That to me is a big thing for the Packers pass offense in general. Tucker Kraft has 6 touchdowns, which is tied for 4th in the league. That's basically Jordan Love's go-to bread and butter in the red zone. Obviously, Luke Musgrave is going to be the next man up in terms of the tight end position, but he's only coming into week 10 with 9 receptions for 88 yards, unlike Tucker Kraft, who had 32 receptions for 400-plus yards. So Romeo Dobbs, Christian Watson, their usage is going to definitely spike up. Matthew Golden, he's going to have to start, you know, being a little bit more reliable on that pass offense compared to what he's been the first half of the year. But yeah, Tucker Kraft, I feel like, is a big blow to that Packers offense. Obviously, they're more of a running team. I feel like they want to be more of a running team, like with Josh Jacobs. Obviously, he's got a touchdown streak that goes on since the moon. You know, it's just one of those things where If you do get in a shootout, however, like, who is your go-to guy now? Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, those are, it's a nice 1-2 punch, but is it really the 1-2 punch that you want to survive in the playoffs? I'm not exactly sure. I think Tucker Kraft definitely was a little bit more of an X factor. Luke Musgrave, we're definitely going to see a little bit more of what he's made of, because Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft were both drafted in the same year in 2023, second and third round picks respectively. But Luke Musgrave was picked with that second round pick, so you would have imagined he would have been the guy who should have elevated his play to be what Tucker Kraft was to this team. But I mean, they're definitely going to give him a deeper look now. But yeah, especially with this team that just got ran over by Rico Dattle and the Panthers, inexplicably, to be honest with you.
Probably the two worst losses of the season.
I don't understand.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, you go out and beat the Lions week one, and then you down the road, you lose to the Browns and the Panthers. I mean, then again, the Panthers do have a winning record. They're 5-4. I don't know how.
Panthers are also a very weird team to me.
They are right up there with, like, the Falcons. I feel like the Falcons and the Panthers are, like, right there in terms of weird teams that you don't know what you're going to get. But somehow they find ways to either win the game or lose the game. But regardless, the Packers are an interesting team to me, because they are a Super Bowl hopeful, and they are my Super Bowl pick to come out of the NFC. But without Tucker Kraft, I'm a little curious how they're going to develop as an offense from now on.
So both of these first two stories line up perfectly with one of my overreactions, and so I'll just say it now. One of my overreactions was going to be that the Packers needed to trade for either Zach Ertz or Mark Andrews.
Okay.
The trade deadline tomorrow, right, as we sit here, as you guys listen to this, you know, probably tomorrow, it'll be, you know, hours before the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Ertz on the Commanders, we just talked about why they need to be sellers.
Yep.
Mark Andrews has his role has fallen back since Isaiah Likely has showed up in Baltimore. Obviously, he had a huge game Thursday night, so that's kind of tough to trade a dude after you have three touchdowns, whatever it was. But his name is floating all over the place for trade rumors. I think that either one of those guys would be a phenomenal fit to replace Kraft. And while they wouldn't be a one-for-one replacement, it would be a very adequate pass catcher, a veteran in that locker room. It would be a really nice fit. So for me, I would love to see them go out and make a move for a tight end tomorrow.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, Lamar Jackson, how happy is he going to be if you trade Mark Andrews, especially in a division like the AFC North where it's kind of in your grasp now?
Dude, it's totally there.
It's there for the winning, for the taking. I mean, it's a little, you know, weird to say because they're sitting at 3-6. But the Steelers are 5-3, and they're kind of like even though they just beat up the Colts a little bit yesterday, I feel like it's a very fragile 5-3. So
they're frauds.
Yeah.
I still think they're frauds.
I agree with that. So for me, the Ravens, they have, even though 3-6 is not a position you want to be in, I feel like they are in the driver's seat for the division somehow.
I agree.
Even though it's weird.
All the analytics that they showed Thursday night during the game, they all have them favored with a losing record.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Halfway through the season.
Yeah,
it's crazy, but, you know, I can't say that I totally disagree with it.
Right.
So we'll see if they decide to be moderate sellers and if Green Bay takes advantage of that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So for me, my top story is how exciting the NFC West is going to be the rest of the way. Extremely competitive division. I would say it's probably the best division, in football right now.
Okay.
So we have Seattle and the Rams both at 6-2, and then the Niners who are somehow patching it together at 6-3.
Right.
So Seattle's coming off an absolutely dominant win last night over the Commanders. Sam Darnold looked amazing. Jackson Smith and Jigba is having a career year, far outpacing any other receiver in the league with targets, yards per game, yards per catch, anything, any stat you could throw out there. He's completely dominating.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford for the Rams has 9 touchdowns in his last 2 games. Kyron Williams ran for over 100 yards yesterday. So both teams are just clicking, and both teams have great offenses and phenomenal defenses. And God forbid the 49ers get healthy. I mean, good Lord. So I'm very, very excited to see how that division shakes out, and it's going to be really competitive football the remaining 9 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the only other division I can kind of stake a claim to competitive is the NFC North, to be honest with you. You got, obviously, you got the Packers, Detroit. Minnesota's at, 4-4 right now, and then Chicago is somehow a surprising team. I mean, do I think they're for real? Probably not.
They're also frauds.
But, I mean, they're still putting up decent fights. I mean, putting up 47 points against, Cincinnati, but at the same time, that is still pretty impressive as an NFL team overall. But, yeah, going back to the NFC West, I mean, those three teams, I mean, they all have something in common, and that's potent offenses and really legit defenses. So all three of those teams are very complete teams. 49ers withstanding with their health. But, I mean, as long as you have Christian McCaffrey on the offensive side of the ball, I feel like you can sneak one here and there. Obviously, we discussed him and his important role within that 49ers offense a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, Jaxon Smith and Jigba is just putting up a light show right now, with Seattle. Sam Darnold obviously found some sort of connection with him starting prior to week one, and it's just carried on. I don't even know if he had this sort of a, you know, explosive connection with Justin Jefferson last year. I feel like this is a whole new level.
It's pure dominance.
Yeah.
It's. Yeah,
like Justin Jefferson was really, really good last year, but Jaxon Smith and Chuba I feel like he's just that much better this year with Sam Darnold, with the same quarterback at the helm. But yeah, in terms of like the Rams, Matthew Stafford is just Mr. Steady right now. Puka Nacua is putting all pro numbers. Obviously, he's had a little bit of a health issue.
Yeah.
He had a little bit of a health scare yesterday with his ribs. I feel like he'll be okay. I think it was probably just the wind getting knocked out of him. I was watching that game, so obviously it was against the Saints. But to me, all three of those teams are just overall complete teams, and they have the coaching as well to really make a playoff push and maybe cement themselves into like an NFC championship game. It could be an NFC West NFC championship game at the end of the day. I mean, I would not be surprised if it was one of those two of those three teams fighting to get to the Super Bowl on NFC championship Sunday. So it's scary how good that division is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Cardinals, sinking there. I mean, it's not like they're bad. They've been competitive. It's just they cannot put the pieces together like the other three teams have.
They've lost, side note about the Cardinals, they've lost their five games by a combined 13 points.
That's crazy.
So, you know, you flip, they're a good team who can't finish, who can't win games, right? So even them, they're a tough out every week. You know, we're getting ready to watch them against the Cowboys tonight. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that all three teams that we mentioned, the Rams, the Niners, and Seattle, they're all getting in. I really do. Because it's hard to say that the 49ers can't keep this up, because we're halfway through the season, and they continue to win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we could play that game. Like, okay, if three teams are going to make it in from the West, who are you kicking out? That would be fun. Because right now, for me, it's easy. I think there's only one team getting in the East. And that's the Eagles.
Philly.
The Commanders aren't getting in. The Giants aren't getting in. Cowboys are the only team that I would maybe consider making an argument for.
Yeah.
And then you still get two teams out of the North.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's I don't see that even as that much of a reach.
Right.
If you had, I didn't tell you I was going to do this. Pick one of those three teams. Who do you think is going to win the division?
Out of those three teams? Out of those three. So finishing third, I'd probably pick the 49ers to stay at third. And then it comes down to Seattle or the Rams. For me, I'd probably go with the Rams, to be honest with you.
I really want to go with the Rams because I love Matthew Stafford. I picked them to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Picked them, I think, as my one or two seed. But I think it's going to be Seattle.
Really?
I really do. I think that they have Njigba. Darnold was getting guys involved last night that you've literally never heard of. They had a whole segment on game day on Good Morning Football of the two of the guys that caught caught touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Arroyo something or other, one of the tight ends,
yep.
his first touchdown catch ever.
Yep.
And then there was another receiver, I think his name was Horton,
mm-hmm.
Undrafted rookie.
Yeah.
Never caught a touchdown pass before in his life, and Darnold's just slinging it to these
dudes.
Yeah,
he got two.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I want to go the Rams, but my head is saying Seattle.
They are very similar teams, both of them. I mean, Kenneth Walker, Kyrie Williams are basically
head wash. Charbonnet is having a really good year,
yeah.
Balancing out with Kenneth Walker.
Yep. And Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, Stafford, Darnold. I mean, offensively, I feel like these teams are just way too similar. You can flip a coin, and then defensively, I feel like they both schematically know what they're doing, and they have playmakers on throughout their defense. So to me, it's a straight clean wash. You could flip a coin, and honestly, it'd probably be just as right as trying to analyze it and trying to pick one using whatever method you want to use. But to me, it's I'm just leaning on experience with the Rams, seeing as they've been there, they've done that sort of thing. Sam Darnold, obviously won 14 games last year with the Vikings, but
and looks even better.
Yeah.
He looks even better.
So it's rough to argue against or for one. To me, you can't go wrong with either pick, to be honest with you. To me, they're both legit teams that are going to be a tough out come January.
Yeah, agreed. So my next story, kind of I tied it in intentionally. It has a lot of the same names that we just talked about.
Okay.
But the fact that, you know, we're only halfway through the season, it'll kind of work itself out. But for me right now, halfway through the season, this is the most amount of legit MVP candidates that we have that I can remember.
Mm.
So I wrote down seven names.
Seven.
That I think you legitimately could make an argument that they are the MVP.
Okay.
So I'll go over them. You can tell me yay or nay. And okay. then you can tell me if I left anybody out.
Okay.
So number one is Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Yeah.
Nine touchdowns the last two games. The dude is absolutely slinging the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield. We already talked about
absolutely.
Him at length. Love me some Baker Mayfield. Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
Just absolutely pounding the rock in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
Except for yesterday.
and see, but they lost.
I know.
I mean, you can.
He had 40 something rushing yards. He had his attempts were down. It was.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones threw the ball 50 times yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. It was horrible play calling. Horrible play calling for Indy.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Taylor's up there. Christian McCaffrey. I still have him in that conversation.
Okay.
Sam Darnold. If he continues to play like this, he is going to be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, he definitely made himself a case to be up there.
Daniel Jones, the aforementioned in Indy, the way he's playing, I think is a legit case. No, you're not in on there?
I'm not in on that. For me, it's hard to have two MVP candidates in one team because at that point it becomes like,
I know. Yeah.
You weigh the scale. And for me, it's been more about Jonathan Taylor for me. Honestly.
That's fair.
Well, that's just me.
And then this last name I actually don't agree with,
what?
But I keep hearing his name floated and thrown out there. Drake May.
Drake May. You got something against Drake May, don't you?
I
just don't want the Patriots to be right
again.
Do you
think he's an MVP candidate?
Do I think Drake May is an MVP candidate? I think he has a case. He's just the progression he's been on this year compared to the rest of his draft class has been outstanding. He's done nothing to really, you know, think he's going to be some sort of bust or show any sort of regression. Drake May has just been on one this year. He's been phenomenal to me, to be honest. I look at the receivers. Stephon Diggs is their big name. But then who else does he really have? And then in terms of running backs, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson with his fumbling problems.
He didn't even play yesterday.
Yeah, and he was inactive. So, I mean, Travion Henderson, a rookie. Mike Vrabel's a heck of a coach, and that defense has really been playing up to par to a Vrabel defense. It's just one of those things where, obviously, we've talked about how MVP is kind of a quarterback reward. But Drake May is just leading arguably the best team right now. And he's the best quarterback on the best team. It just comes down to that sort of mentality. But for me, Drake May hasn't really done anything to not be in that conversation. He's not turning the ball over. I mean, I have him on fantasy. I would know.
So I think they're the worst division winner.
Ooh.
Right now. Division leading leader. Team. Division uh-huh. leader by far.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So
wow.
I'm just going to listen for a second.
Okay.
They won yesterday against the Falcons by 1 point because the Falcons missed an extra point.
Yeah.
They beat the Browns. They beat the Titans.
Okay.
They beat the Saints.
Okay.
They beat the Panthers.
Okay.
They lost to the Steelers. They beat the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost to the Raiders. I would argue that their only impressive win is against the Bills.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong, but I think they're frauds.
I'm okay with the logic of they haven't had a tough schedule. I mean, we talked about their easy schedule.
And it is what it is. You play, you right. know, they were, I think, third in the division, so they're playing a third place schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. I right. get that. But don't expect me to buy in on beating teams like, no disrespect, the Saints, the Browns, the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if next Thursday they run over the Jets, I'm not going to be like, holy crap, the Patriots are so good.
right.
You know, so that's part of my argument. But then, you know, I picked the Patriots and the Falcons as one of the games I was watching on my multi-view yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out NFL Ticket. And he had one really nice throw to DeMario Douglas. It was like an out and up for a touchdown. Very nice throw.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of his game, it was Tom Brady.
It was Tom Brady.
It was Tom Brady in the sense that it's like at the line of scrimmage or within 5 yards.
Okay.
And he's letting his guys do the work. So he
like, you know what the argument is here, though? What's wrong with Tom Brady?
Nothing.
That's the thing.
Nothing. And that's my biggest frustration is, like, I never thought that Brady was that good. I just thought he was really good.
No.
I just thought he was really good at playing in the system.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And that's what I saw from Drake May yesterday.
My ears.
That's what I saw from Drake May yesterday. Yeah. You know, checkdowns. He threw a 6-yard curl to Stephon Diggs, who wiggled and dipped and went up the sideline and ended up turning it into a touchdown. That was all Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Drake May. He threw a curl route. Like, so that's why I'm not there on Drake May. No. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN is through the roof on Drake May and Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
I can't get there yet on Drake May.
Okay.
I honestly they can make me eat my words.
Right.
I'm just not there on the Patriots. So I threw him in there just because everybody keeps mentioning him, but mm-hmm. I don't agree. So out of that list, it sounds like you disagree with Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Nah, not really. Not off that list.
They all you can make a legitimate case for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. That's a yeah. lot of names having a huge impact.
Yeah.
So, again, it'll wither the list down naturally yeah. as games go on.
And that's not even to mention the other, you know, household names. Like
I was just going to say, I didn't throw Josh Allen in there. I think Patrick you could Bowen. Maybe make a case for him.
Nope.
By the end of the season, you wouldn't surprise me if you could make a case for Lamar Jackson, especially, you know, he had 4 touchdowns Thursday night.
Yeah, if they come back and make the playoffs after a 1-5 start, and all of a sudden you're going to be hearing some chants for MVP and for Lamar.
So any other names that you would make a case for?
None that come to mind right off the bat. No.
All right. Love it. Real quick. So Monday Night Football is about to kick off.
Okay.
And my dad just texted me. He wants a prediction for what the score is going to be tonight.
Oh, he's looking for prediction, huh?
Yeah. He said, what's your score prediction for tonight?
High scoring.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Okay. I'm going to go 31-20 Dallas.
Okay.
What do you got? You want me to give him your prediction?
I'll go 31-27.
Oh,
Dallas.
Close game. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we just talked about the Cardinals losing, what, yeah. 5 and yeah. 13 points in 5 games. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll give them a close loss.
I hope it's a good game.
Yeah.
I'm always rooting for the Cardinals.
Yep.
So, all right. So, good top stories there. We will jump into overreactions.
Okay.
What do you got?
So, my first overreaction, and I mean, even if you say it's an overreaction, I'll say nay. Cincinnati will have the worst defense in the NFL history.
Oh,
so I was there for the 2012 Saints when they gave up over 7,000 yards
yeah.
in a season, and that was in a 16-game season, mind you. That was pretty impressive. But I mean, Cincinnati right now is on pace to give up over 7,200 yards. So at 426 yards per game, that's what the math adds up to. So that's they might shatter that even with the game, with the 17th game. That'll put them over that mark. And then we have the 2024 Panthers, just of last year, who allowed a record 534 points. The Bengals.
Really? I did not know they were that bad last year.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. And then this year they are on pace for giving up 567 points. So that's crushing that number by over 30 points. So to me, the Bengals at this point, they're coming off two heartbreakers. Obviously, one to the Jets, giving you guys your first win, and then this one against Chicago. I mean, the Jets and the Bears. Offenses are hit or miss. I feel like have been hit or miss throughout the year.
That's putting it nicely. The fact that they gave up 500 yards of total offense to the Jets is egregious. Is like everybody needs to be fired.
Al Golden, get him out of there. Defense coordinator.
I'm blanking on the head coach's name right now.
Zach Taylor?
Thank you. Zach Taylor said today he gave a full vote of confidence to Al Golden. Said he's working like crazy to fix it.
Well, he better get himself out on the field.
Holy crap. Like, and it's getting to the point now where, like, I'm sure you heard Ja'Marr Chase walking back to the locker room yesterday saying, you know, we needed one effing stop.
Yeah, one stop.
Chase Brown in the locker room was F-bombing left and right, talking trash about the defense. Like, it's getting to the point where things are going to start falling apart. And I would even make an argument that if they could improve a minute amount, 10%, they would be in the conversation for the division because their offense is unreal.
Yeah, and
even with Joe Flacco. And we just talked about how that division is still up for grabs.
Yeah.
Seriously, one small change, whether it's a trade, whether it's a technique, I don't know. I don't know enough about why they suck so bad, but it's right there for them.
Right.
Which is crazy to say, considering it's Joe Flacco.
Yeah. I mean, overall, from what I saw yesterday, I mean, it's just about scheme. I mean, you got cornerbacks that were a safety that was way off. Cortland Loveland when he cut the game winning touchdown, and then when he tackled, he didn't wrap up tackling. It was just like no effort whatsoever. Yeah. You're just trying to hit the guy and see if he falls down or something. And then to add to that, you hear about how the defense was just laughing or not even entertaining interviews and just saying catch you on Monday. As an offense, as Chase Brown or Ja'Marr Chase, I feel like at that point you have all the reason to be pointing fingers. Honestly, the way the Bengals defense has gone, I wouldn't be surprised if they've already pointed fingers inside the locker room. Be like, hey, you guys need to step it up. I mean, we're out here trying to make it through, right the ship without Joe Burrow, without our leader at quarterback. But Joe Flacco's.
And they're doing it.
Yeah.
They've lost two games in a row where they put up 38 and 42 points?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's insane.
Yeah, that's unheard of. And now we're starting to see that they're pointing fingers out with the media. Honestly, you always want to contain what you leak out to the media, and you want to keep everything indoors. But I mean, at some point, if your defense isn't taking the accountability and you know all that seriously, what choice do you have but to kind of like voice your frustrations to someone that. Like the media that does have some level of control for perception and all that. Obviously, the coaching staff isn't really riding the ship. Management isn't riding the ship. I mean, if you're the GM, I'd be shipping out everyone who was part of that defense yesterday and shipping them all out for any sort of draft pick and letting any undrafted rookie come in and be like, you know what, let's see some heart and hustle out here. But from what I saw yesterday from that Bengals defense was just atrocious. I mean, when they recovered that onside kick, I thought to myself, there's no way they're losing this football game right now. You just do not recover onside kicks anymore. And when they scored the touchdown to take the lead, I was like, okay, this is making sense. And then they left Caleb Williams a little bit less than a minute to go the length of the field. And it was just poor effort, poor technique, poor everything in terms of you know, trying to contain a lead in the last minute. It was just putrid.
It was shockingly bad.
Yeah.
And the Bengals were my upset pick this week, so thanks for that.
Thanks for that.
Appreciate you guys. So update, 31-24 Dallas is my dad's prediction.
Okay.
So not looking good for the Cardinals. But what do we know?
What do we know?
You got anything else?
No, that's it for my overreaction. All right,
so this one is going to hit a little close to home.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize.
Oh.
Alvin Kamara is washed.
Nah.
He needs to retire.
Oh, retire.
He needs to retire.
Retire in general.
He's producing nothing. He's just a body out on the field.
Mm.
So I don't have his stats for you, but yeah. I have from a fantasy perspective what he's done the last 5 weeks, which really paints you a picture. So the last 5 weeks, 9.5, 12.6. Okay, probably a couple catches. 5.9, 6.5, and then yesterday, 0.7. Fantasy points.
0.7.
He had like 20-something yards, and then he had a fumble loss.
Oh, the fumble. That's right.
So I think this is 2 weeks in a row now where I have given up on him. I stopped playing him.
Mm-hmm.
He's riding the bench from here on out. Actually, if one of my waivers goes through this week, I'm dropping him.
Yep. It's time to start looking.
He's done. Yeah. He is done. And I really thought when Kendre Miller got hurt that maybe, like, okay, he'll have more touches. He'll be able to get more in the flow. And, dude, he looks slow.
Yeah.
And I told you this off air a couple of weeks ago, but like from watching them, and you will be able to tell me what you saw yesterday from Shuck, but Rattler was just not using him as a check down.
Yeah.
Where from a fantasy perspective, that was where Kamara's value really was.
Yeah.
Is he would get legit 4 to 6 catches per game, just checking the ball down, and then would take him for 5 to 10 yards each time.
Yeah.
Where Rattler did not do that at all. I don't know what you saw from Shuck yesterday. Based on that stat line, I'd say probably not.
More or less the same. To me, it's all about scheme right now. I'm not sure what exactly Kellen Moore is trying to do with this offense, to be honest with you. They're not really running the ball. They're not even attempting to run the ball, and that's the unfortunate part. I don't know if it's because the game is just getting away from them. I feel like they've been in most of the games in the first half of the year. Obviously, they had a few heartbreakers the first, 5-6 weeks. Lost by a touchdown by one possession to the 49ers, to Arizona. But at the end of the day, it just feels like they're not really trying to run the ball. And they're trying to pass the ball heavily with Rattler and now with Shuck. And the problem with Rattler and Shuck is they don't really have the touch right now to pass a deep ball and to elevate the defenses and to allow those checkdowns. Because right now, whenever they try to check it down, there's a defender right on Alvin Kamara every single time. I don't think I've seen Kamara have space when he catches a football to like really turn up field and try to use some of his slipperiness to gain an extra 5 or 10 yards, make a move or whatever. But it's like as soon as he grabs the ball, he's getting tackled right away. And I feel like that's something schematically is weighing down on the Saints offense. There's just nothing really there that makes sense to me at this point. And unfortunately, I don't know how much of a leash I can give Kellen Moore right now, because honestly, it just does not look pretty with either Shuck or Rattler on there. Yeah. It's just been, plug and play. It doesn't matter who's in there. It just feels like it's a stagnant offense that doesn't really have anywhere to go. It's when you don't have a run game and you're just throwing the ball, even if that's because of you're getting outscored or whatever, especially by the Rams of all teams, at some point you gotta at least try to bring some sort of balance to your offense, and I just don't see that from Kellen Moore's offense right now.
Yeah. I got nothing for Kamara. I got no hope. They're never going to trade him, right? He's too much of a household name.
He's like Cameron Jordan.
Correct.
Yeah.
He will retire a Saint.
Yeah.
But I don't know that any team would take a flyer on him right now.
Probably not.
So I'm done with him. Stick a fork in him. And so that's he's washed.
Drop him.
Unfortunately.
No.
So I had one about Green Bay, which we already went over. I actually had a third one.
Ooh.
Now I want people to hear what I'm about to say.
Oh no.
Okay. Listen, I don't want people to see like, oh, he's talking about both sides of his mouth. He's contradicting himself. Yeah. 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 This and that.
Why?
Last week we had a whole segment on how the outcome of the Chiefs, or at least my opinion was that the outcome of the Chiefs and the Bills did not matter.
Right.
Right. And while I still think that that is the case, one thing that I will say, right? So when you watch teams, you look for like something that stands out or something that's different from years past.
Okay.
Right. And I think there was one clear difference yesterday to where I'm not saying that I'm all in and I think this is going to happen.
Okay.
But if the Chiefs, excuse me, if the Bills are able to knock off the Chiefs in January, it's going to be because of Joey Bosa.
Oh, okay.
Joey Bosa yesterday played like a man possessed.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best version of Joey Bosa that we've seen definitely in a Bills uniform and in years.
Right.
I mean, he was all over Patrick Mahomes, making him scramble, had numerous great hits on him, had a couple sacks. Even on the final couple throws, those Hail Marys, he wasn't able to step into it because Bosa was right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an element that the Bills have not had in their games against the Chiefs. You think about the last couple years, they've had a washed, slow Von Miller. and Bosa was not that yesterday.
Right.
So to me, that's the big difference, that if they're able to do something in January, it's going to be because of the defense. It's going to be because of Joey Bosa.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, the Bills, yeah, like you said, we talked about it last week in Premium. They have a knack for beating the Chiefs during the regular season when, you know, maybe it'll dictate what home field advantage looks like in come January. But when the chips are all on the floor, it becomes one of those things where the Bills kind of get in their own heads. And I feel like the Chiefs just have the upper hand one way or another. And the Chiefs just find a way to win. But yeah, I mean, any advantage that you can find now and try to exploit later down the road, like a Joey Bosa, if the tackles of the Chiefs cannot guard him, put them on whatever tackle you feel like is a liability in terms of the Chiefs. You know, I mean it's probably a strategy as old as time, is you put your best defensive player on their weakest link and you let them go at them and see what happens. I mean, come January, I mean, if Joey Bosa can get a strip sack or something, change the momentum, especially if it's in Buffalo. Oh, man. Especially after a game like this where you win and you kind of hold that tiebreaker. And obviously the Chiefs are, 5-4 right now?
Not even in the playoffs if the season were to end today.
So, they're not having their greatest season ever, but, I mean, they're still a threat. It doesn't look like the playoffs are going to run through Kansas City this year. But if Buffalo can you know, host them and exploit some sort of matchups that they have in their favor, I mean, sky's the limit for Buffalo against the Chiefs. I mean, when it comes down to it, this is a Bills team that I feel like they've kind of tried to build their team around being the Chiefs, because I feel like that's their arch nemesis. That's the mental block and the roadblock that's always been holding them back. I feel like as soon as if they can beat the Chiefs, then they're definitely steamrolling mentally and see what they can do against, you know, teams like Indianapolis or New England. But I mean, honestly, when it comes to Indianapolis, I feel like a really good run offense is their kryptonite, to be honest with you. And I feel like that's what Indy has, is Jonathan Taylor. But they'll get there when they get there. But I mean, moving past the Kansas City Chiefs come January will be the ultimate sigh of relief. I feel like any team ever whatever exasperate. So to me, the Bills, yes, they can look at and reflect on this and be like, hey, this is a matchup we can exploit later down the road. We don't have to rely, you know, purely on offense to outscore them, you know, in the 30s or in the 40s. But yeah, if you can really match up Joey Bosa with either of those tackles, I feel like either of those tackles, he'd have the advantage. You're in good seating.
Yeah, something again on Good Morning Football, I want to give them credit because I thought it was such an interesting thing to say that I've not actually heard somebody say yet, but I think it was Kyle Brandt.
Mm-hmm.
He said the Bills are built to beat two teams, the Chiefs and the Dolphins, which I thought was so interesting to have the Dolphins in that conversation. But when you think about it, he goes, they are built to play against speed. They are lean on the defensive line, which is why they're so bad against the run.
Yep.
Right. They're not big, beefy on the defensive line. They have lean, athletic, strong guys that can play against speed. You think about the Chiefs with Worthy. Mm-hmm. You think about the Dolphins with obviously formerly Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, the Devon Achane, the speed they have there.
Yeah.
I thought it was such a good call out and good comparison and spot on, quite honestly. And the other thing that I saw yesterday along with Joey Bosa was the fact that their rookie corner, Maxwell Hairston,
mm-hmm.
number one, played great, but number two, literally kept up with Xavier Worthy step for step on a go route, which Worthy's the fastest dude in the NFL. I think he holds the record for the fastest 40 time at the combine. And just, he was literally didn't break stride, step for step, kept right up with him. That could be a game changer.
Right.
So again, I'm not sitting here. I told you guys last week, if the Bills won, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yep, I'm bought in. They're definitely better than the Chiefs. No way. I'm not doing it. But those are two very big things that, again, are different than in years past.
Yeah, I feel like whenever it comes to the regular season, I feel like Andy Reid definitely hides some things. That
100%. 100%. 100%. Beating the Chiefs two games in one season?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really something that's heard of since Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes took over KC. But, yeah, Andy Reid definitely, I feel like, He plays a lot of things close to the chest, and you know, come January he'll let loose where he feels like he needs to let loose. He sees this tape as much as we do, and he realizes where the matchups that I feel he probably feels Buffalo's going to try to exploit, and he's going to schematically try to limit as Joey Bosa and free up Worthy as much as he can come January if the matchups ever get to that point. But yeah, Andy Reid. Buffalo needs to try to not, you know, rely on what they see in this tape too heavily. Otherwise, they might fall into the trap of what Andy Reid might scheme up come January.
Well, even Tony Romo called it out like yesterday, and you know, we can put a bow on this after. But there was a play, I think it was in the fourth quarter, where it was a play action. Mahomes rolled out to the right. He had Kelsey have like a delay, almost like he was going to pop out for a screen on the left hand side, to where Bosa stopped rushing. Backed up as if he was going to play the screen. And then Romo was like, all they're doing is they're resetting the pocket. They moved the pocket to the right and gave them more separation and more time for Joey, but from Joey Bosa. And he's like, I've literally never seen a team do that before. He goes, that is an Andy Reid special. So like, that's a prime example of things that you've never seen. And when they show the replay, I'm like, holy crap. Like, that's exactly what just happened.
Right.
Because you see Joey Bosa, he was rushing, and then all of a sudden he stopped, and you're like, what is this dude doing? But it's because it looked like it was about to be a screen, and he was playing the screen. Unbelievably genius from Andy Reid. So that's why, you know, it's so tough to beat the Chiefs once, let alone twice in a season.
Right.
Who knows if it'll happen. But those are two things for me that really stuck out that I think you have to be encouraged if you're the Bills or a Bills fan. Because my brother-in-law yesterday was like, dude, they're cooked. Their defense is bad. He actually questioned if they were even going to make the playoffs before yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Because of their defense. And the defense only gave up 21 points. The defense looks great.
Yeah.
Two games in a row, they gave up 9 points to Carolina. They gave up 21 to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe brighter things to come for the Bills, at least on defense. But
yeah, they're definitely
very, very interesting yesterday.
Yeah, they're definitely looking to put things together defensively. But I mean, the loss of Ed Oliver, though, maybe that'll show later in the season. But I feel like that's a big loss. But overall, yeah, I feel like they're always mentally prepared for the Chiefs. It just becomes a mental awareness come playoff time.
Agreed. All right, so we are going to do a quick, just a mid-year recap, where we either brag a little bit or we make fun of ourselves a little bit. We're halfway through the season. Some things that we do preseason predictions and breakdowns leading up to week one. We have some bold takes. We have some good takes. We each picked out a couple things that we've gotten right so far, and a couple things that we've gotten way wrong.
Right.
So I'll let you go first.
No, thanks. Thanks a lot for that one. Well. Things I got right. I put one fantasy thing on here and one, standings wise. My fantasy thing was Jonathan Taylor is my must have in the AFC North. He was being drafted in the second round for a lot of teams or a lot of drafts. But for me, he was that must have running back coming out of that division. Obviously, Daniel Jones isn't someone you want passing 50 times in a game. And that offensive line has just been tremendous all year round. I mean, it's definitely been a team that is built around the trenches. So to me, it has all the makings for Jonathan Taylor to really explode, and he has for the most part this year. I mean, he's number one running back in terms of fantasy-wise, averaging over 26 points a game. So to me, Jonathan Taylor, as my must-have, was something I got pretty spot on. And in terms of rankings, Patriots is my playoff team. I snuck them in there.
That's a good one.
With their light schedule and how I felt like they were going to be coached under Mike Vrabel, and the progression that I felt like Drake May was going to take, I didn't think Drake May was going to be, you know, this progressive right now. I felt like he would have been more like a game manager type of thing in year two. But the Patriots being a playoff contender and almost, you know, a division contender in the AFC East, that's something I'm glad to say I kind of foresaw. I liked what I saw and what they did in the offseason, and with their light schedule, like I said, all the cards look kind of lined up for the Patriots. Whether this continues next year, we'll see, because especially if they win the division, they're going to have a lot more competition with the other division winners. But yeah, as of right now, that's my good prediction in terms of division leaders. And in terms of things I got wrong, Cardinals winning the division, that was rough. I mean, we talked about it earlier, 13 points, 5 losses. They've been in it. The problem is they just cannot finish for the life of them. Kyler Murray, I don't know where
he's
you
done.
Go
from.
He's done. He's get done. Him out of here. He's
traded after this year. They're already talking about it. I'm seeing articles all over today saying that he won't get traded tomorrow because of health, but he's going to get traded in the offseason.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, his Arizona days should be done. Whether you move on from Jonathan Gannon or not, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You move on from your offensive coordinator, that's for sure. What's his name again? Drew Petzing?
Petzing.
Yep. So to me, that's your next step. Where you go with quarterback, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe you look at the free agent market, see if you can pick up, you know, someone looking to rebound, like a Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones, something that you envision as a bridge quarterback, but maybe lights the world on fire next year. I mean, this franchise could really use something like that, because I don't feel like they're far off from really being a competitive football team. I feel like they already are a better football team.
That's why I say you don't make the move with Gannon.
Yeah,
they're playing tough.
No,
they're playing
agree.
Really tough. They just had a really nice fourth down stop, fourth and goal.
Yeah.
Against Dallas just now.
Yeah, I don't. This is a man who I don't feel like has lost the locker room at all. I mean, honestly, I feel like when Kyler Murray leaves the Cardinals, I feel like it's going to be one of those things where all of a sudden reports about players being happy that Kyler Murray left the team is you know, start popping up here and there. Kyler Murray was this, Kyler Murray was that, and, you know, one thing after another. But that's one thing I got wrong. And then my stay away from was Puka Nacua. I did not foresee this whole, you know, Matthew Stafford kind of had aching back coming into the season. Health was an issue,
a big concern.
Yeah. And then Davante Adams coming in last year, Cooper Kupp and Puka kind of split games about, you know, who was the primary target and who was getting fed, you know, the red zone targets by Stafford. This year there hasn't been really a question as long as Puka's been healthy. I mean, Davante Adams has had his lion's share, his fair share of touchdowns and targets, but I mean, it's been the Puka Nacua show for the Rams for the most part. I feel like if anyone has taken kind of a backseat, it's been Kyren Williams, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yep. So that, I guess that's how they found more touches for Puka. But yeah, Puka, before he got injured, was averaging over 27, close to 28 points per game in a PPR league. So Puka Nacua, for me, staying away from, obviously was not advised, but at the same time, obviously he got injured, but still, he's been having a tremendous year, and that's someone that I shouldn't have stayed away from.
Yep. So both my correct predictions are fantasy football related. My things I've gotten wrong were actual, like, divisional stuff. So I had Jaxon Smith and Jigba as my must-have coming out of the NFC West.
Okay.
I was spot on there. We already talked about him, the year he's having. I mean, he's leading receivers in every statistical category, having an absolute breakout year. And then if you remember, I went on a somewhat of a rant about how I thought that Dak Prescott was a real sleeper in the NFC East to have a really, really good year.
Yeah.
I said they might not win a lot of games, but I really think that he's going to have a great year.
Right.
And he is.
Yeah.
So I feel really good about those.
Yeah, if they had a better record, he'd probably be up there
in the MVP race. Absolutely. Yeah. And then the things I got wrong, I had the Colts being atrocious this year.
We both did.
So I feel like a lot of people could you know, make that case.
Yeah.
I looked back. I had them finishing in third. Only ahead of,
I can't remember who.
I think it was the Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Oh, you know what?
Or Titans?
Okay, pause.
Pause,
because that's even worse. I had the Titans finishing in second in the division. I thought the Titans were going to be like a sneaky team this year. I really did. Now that I'm refreshing my memory, I had Houston, the Titans, the Colts, the Jags.
Yeah.
So that whole division, I destroyed that division.
destroyed that division.
So got that way wrong.
Yeah.
And then I had the Falcons winning the South.
Mm.
I really thought that they were going to be a much better, more consistent team.
Yeah,
they still show flashes of being a good team. Yesterday, offense, you know, Drake London, 3 touchdowns. Penix looked good. But then you miss an extra point, you lose the game.
Yeah.
It's just brutal. So they're not going to win the division. And I definitely got that one wrong as well.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be the Bucs. Sorry.
Correct. Correct.
Yep.
Speaking of the Bucs, why don't you go with your power rankings, sir?
Speaking of the Bucs, they are third on my power rankings. But so last week, a bunch of my teams lost. But that's the problem. That's the problem. Who do I go down? And honestly, the Colts were due for a little bit of a letdown. It just happened to be against the Steelers. I mean, it's a team against a winning record, at least. Nothing to, you know, be ashamed about. So I kept the Colts at one. I can't dock them too much. It was just one of those things where I feel like everything just got away from them. We'll see if they rebound next week. Have the Patriots at two. I was debating whether to move the Patriots up to one, but yep. I know you would have had an aneurysm out of that one. So
they're not even in my top five.
Well, that is your opinion, good sir. But pass it to Bucks at 3-6-2. The Bucks are just quietly, you know, doing their own thing. I feel like they're just going to be scary at the end of the year with Baker. Number four, the Broncos. They're on a 6-game winning streak. Houston's defense is elite.
Houston's defense is legit.
Let me
probably
get that
top two defense in the league. Yes, yeah. Agreed.
And then CJ Stroud. I mean, I feel like if CJ Stroud didn't go out with that concussion, I feel like they
would have won.
They would have won.
Yeah,
to be honest with you. But I mean, the Broncos, they have a knack of just, you know, playing to par of whatever their opponent is, and then, you know, sneaking one in at the very end of the game. I mean, that's not a recipe that you want to survive on, but I mean, it's working for them right now. But I got them at four. And the number five, I got the Rams, 6-2. Everything that they're showing is just tremendous. Them and the Seahawks. I mean, like we talked earlier, you can flip a coin. I wouldn't argue with either one of them. But yeah, with the Packers losing to the Panthers, they definitely had to drop off a little bit.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. So I moved up Tampa Bay. I had them number two last week behind the Colts. I have them number one for me. So again, you kind of said just quietly plugging away.
Yep.
They're going to be coming off a bye next week. Hopefully they can get healthy. They have some injury stuff going on too, but they're still finding ways to win. So Tampa number one for me. And then my two NFC West teams that I talked about really took a big jump for me. I got the Rams number two. I got Seattle number three. The Colts I kept in my top five. So they're sitting at number four. And then I have Buffalo number five.
Buffalo.
So big win against Kansas City. You know, they're
like we talked about, Buffalo is built to beat the Chiefs. But the problem is, are they built to be anybody else? And that's I'm kind of scared for Buffalo and how they're going to, you know, show up in January when they meet some of these other teams that are not as, you know, a little bit more big bodied than Kansas City is. I'm not sure where to go with Buffalo, to be honest with you.
Okay. So I'm retiring from our picks.
You're retiring.
I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I'm Alvin Kamara.
You're Alvin Kamara.
I'm Cam Ward. I'm a bust. Oh, by the way, all you guys that just ate me alive on TikTok for my Cam Ward take. Dude, I got brutalized for my Cam Ward as a bust take.
You got hit with like a bunch of sticks.
Yeah. Dude. And, yeah, which I told you, I'm not even mad about because that just means people are listening.
Right.
They scored 6 points on offense yesterday. None of which were, it was two field goals.
Yeah.
So come at me.
I mean,
he had 140 passing yards. I think he was like 14 of 25. I mean, come on, man. Like,
You also have to look at who he's passing the ball to. I don't think I can name one receiver he's got.
Yeah.
Besides, like, you know,
Calvin Ridley, is he healthy? I don't even know if he's playing.
Ridley was out.
No. All right. So.
Yep.
Sorry about your luck.
Sorry about your luck. Sorry, bro.
Okay. So yeah, come at me on TikTok, okay? But so far, I'm not that far off.
Right.
Okay.
We'll check back in 5 years when he checks out with his his second team, like Danny Jones is or something.
But as far as our picks, I went 0-3 last week.
Perfect.
So I found a way to get worse. So I had the Jags over the Texans. That's next week.
No.
I had the Jags over the Raiders as my lock, but they had to win by 3.5. So they won by 1.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. So they did not cover.
Nope.
I had the Bengals. I really got screwed this week. I'm just going to say that. I really got screwed. I had the Bengals over the Bears as my upset. That was less than a minute away from happening.
Yep.
And then I took the Chiefs over the Bills in our game of the week. So I went 0-3.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What did I do? I'm always one game above you somehow. Whenever you're 1-2, I'm 2-1. This week I'm 1-2. So I'm one game above you on this one. I went with the Colts over the Steelers. Obviously the Colts put up a dud. Upset Giants over the 49ers. Jackson Dart tried, you know. He really did. It just did not happen. Dude,
he's a stud.
Yeah.
The Giants.
Honestly, if I'm the Giants, I am trading for help for next year. I am not, you know, selling really. I am buying for next year. Give me picks or, you know, give me a young player.
Go get Jalen Waddle.
Go get Jalen Waddle.
From Miami.
Okay, there you go. See, I'd do it. But, yeah, they didn't pull the upset for me. And then game of the week, I went the opposite end with the Bills over the Chiefs. And that got me my one win. So that's it.
All right. So we got two game of the weeks this week.
Ooh.
Because we
make us look even worse.
Yeah, exactly. I needed an opportunity to go 0-4.
Yeah.
So I'll go first with my picks.
Perfect.
Since everybody can just ignore. take a break for the next 30 seconds. So I took Denver over the Raiders as my lock. I definitely think they're going to win. The spread makes me very nervous.
What's the spread?
-8.5.
Oof.
So they got to win by 9.
Yeah.
It's in Denver. It's a short week. It's Thursday Night Football. So that makes me feel really good about it.
There's no reason Denver should not cover that, to be
agreed.
Honest with you.
I agree, but it's me. So
I mean,
we'll
Brock
see.
Bowers came back and he looked really good.
He looked really good. So that's my lock, hopefully.
hopefully, I think. I believe.
We'll see. My upset, I'm rolling with the Jags again. Jags over the Texans. I'm kind of banking here that CJ Stroud is not going to play.
Okay.
If he does, I'm screwed. because I don't think the Jags are going to win. Texans are currently favored by 1.5.
Okay.
I don't really know if they're favoring him being in or not. I don't know if that spread
accounts. I haven't heard anything.
I don't know if that spread accounts for him playing or not. It seems kind of low if he would be playing, so I'm assuming that's the spread without him.
With Mills,
yeah. I mean, realistically, that Texans defense, you got to score like 10 points and you're in really good shape. So our two game of the weeks, number one is the Bucks and the Pats.
Okay.
And then number two is the Rams and the Niners.
Yep.
So first one, I'm taking the Bucks over the Patriots for all the reasons I already talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots are frauds. and then this one was really, really tough for me, but I don't think the Rams are going to lose to the Niners a second time.
Okay.
So I took the Rams.
Okay. Yeah, so my upset, I got the Browns over the Jets. Sorry, my guy.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry. On. I apologize. I mean, it's -1.5 spread, but I mean, the Browns, I don't know. I just feel like they have the better
Wait,
defense.
Is that your upset or your lock?
That's my upset.
The Jets are favored?
Yeah, the Jets are favored.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
look,
exciting.
Look at you guys.
Wow.
Look at you guys.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. Sky's the limit now. And then for my lock, I got the Lions over the Commanders. The spread is there. I mean, it's -8.5. But I mean, with Marcus Mariota leading the Commanders now, and you know, all the injuries on defense now for the Commanders, I feel like there's no reason for the Lions not to cover that spread, especially coming off a loss, kind of a dud against Minnesota. I feel like the Lions should be able to right the ship there. And games of the week, I also went the Rams over the 49ers. Okay. I feel like they're going hot right now.
You took the Patriots. I know you took the Patriots.
Yeah, I went with the Patriots over the Bucs.
This is going to be one of the things that we talk about the most, the remaining 9 weeks of the season.
Patriots and the Bucs. Yeah. Well, maybe the Patriots. I feel like
the Patriots specifically. Yes. Yeah. Our difference of opinion.
Yeah. Frauds or not frauds.
So as of right now, do you think the Patriots are going to win the division?
As of right now,
where they sit right now, they're a game. They're a half game because they haven't had their bye yet over the Bills.
Yeah, they have.
They also have the tiebreaker. So you could say that's a full game.
Yeah. They have to play one more time against the Bills. So there's that.
In New England. They got to play in New England.
Yeah. I'd have to look at their schedule, but, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. Like I said, when it comes to, you know, a light schedule, they're taking advantage of who they have to face. And the Bills coming off, you know, a division-leading schedule, it becomes a little bit tougher. But the Patriots, I mean, they've taken all the necessary steps to really become, you know, kind of like the Washington Commanders of last year, to be honest with you. They have the young hot quarterback and then, you know, formidable defense to kind of lead the way to get you a little bit far in the playoffs. I don't see why not. But obviously the Bills are the Bills. They have a track record.
I can tell you off the top of my head, they still have the Eagles. They still have the Steelers. They still have the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So they got
Bucks too.
Yeah. They got a tough schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to look, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Interesting.
Yep.
I would be very surprised.
Mm.
I would be downright shocked if
the Patriots won the division
week 18. We're not sitting here and saying the Bills have the one or the two seed.
Yeah, what if the playoffs go through New England?
Shoot me in the face. I just hate him so much.
You just want Drake May to be a bust on you.
I hate him so much. I do.
Yeah.
I always will.
Always will. This is part of the genes. It's yep. Okay. It's
all so, right. All right, that'll do it. That'll do it for the show. Hope you guys enjoyed. We're going to go hopefully watch the Cardinals knock off the Cowboys right now. 3-0 Cards right now.
3-0 Cards.
So, hope you guys enjoyed, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.